One of the things that I find very important to prepare our children with is to show them how to maintain their own integrity, their own value system, even if they are going to be in structures that have different values than they have. I wanted my children to learn this because I realized that when I was a child, I had been educated to believe that teachers know what's right. And so within the school setting, I was giving away power to the authority that wasn't good for me. For example, I could give many, but one of the ones that stayed with me over the years, when I was in the third grade, I was taking a music class, and the music teacher told me and two other boys, in a tone of voice that I took as that I had a terrible voice, she said, "You three can bring comic books, but don't sing." And I gave away my power to this teacher. I read into the tone of her voice and her telling us that we could bring comic books but don't sing, that I had a terrible voice and that I shouldn't sing. And for over 20 years following that point, I didn't sing. Even when I would be in a group situation where they would be singing together, I would never sing. I took her message as a judgment that I had a terrible voice and that I had no right to sing. Years later, a woman wrote some songs being stimulated by our workshop, and when she played them for me, I saw how much music added to the work, and I invited her in to sing the songs in some of my workshops, and it added a lot. And after a while, we were sitting in my office one day, and I said to her, "You know, that music you bring to our workshops periodically, it really adds a lot. I really miss it when you're not there." And she said, "Well, why don't you get a guitar and learn how to sing?" And I said, "Huh? Oh, I can't." Now, even though I teach people the danger of this word "can't," is that it denies choice. I used it, and she looked at me and said, "I thought you said that the word can't limits us as human beings." And I said, I'm not a musician." And she says, "Now you're telling me what you think you are. You tell people in your workshops how dangerous it is to label yourself." And then I laughed and said, "Okay, I see what's going on. I'm still giving away power to that teacher of about 30 years ago. I'm still giving her power to define what I can do." So that afternoon, I bought a guitar and started to use music in my work. But before I could do so, I had to give myself permission to sing. And so I wrote this song called "The Crow with a Crippled Wing." Though I play guitar like my fingers are stone and my voice is miles off key, I remind myself, hey, it's okay to sing. The song stirring in me, because I believe everyone has a right to dance and sing. Even if you move and sound like a crow with a crippled wing. Crows!
Caw, 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 caw.
Though an ox may not move like Fred Astaire when it starts doing its dance, as far as I'm concerned, if an ox wants to boogie, I'd like to see it get the chance. 'Cause I believe everyone has a right to dance and sing. Even if you move and sound like a crow with a crippled wing. Crows!
Caw-caw!
Well, having learned that experience of how I had given up my authority to teachers to define what I can do and what I am, I certainly was conscious then that every chance I got, whenever I was in an institutional structure, I certainly didn't want to give away my power to the authorities. I wanted to be respectful to what they had to offer, but I wanted to be sure that I never gave up what I can be or can do or what I am to the people in authority diagnosing me. And I wanted to be sure my children learned this too, not to give up their power, not to give up who they are, no matter what institutions they were in. Now, this was particularly difficult for me to get across to my daughter because she was very caring toward everybody. And she had this idea that she needed to make everybody happy and she needed to be a good girl. And I saw this happening, how she was giving up her power in so many situations. And I particularly wanted to work with her on this. So I started to talk to her when she was about 9 years old. I said, I'd really like you to be able to express yourself more than I see you doing. And I'd like you to do it at home. I'd like you to do it at school. I'd like you to develop yourself so you can be free to express your own values no matter where you are. And I gave her a lot of empathy for how scary this was for her. And I felt real good one day when I got a call from her school administrator. And the school administrator called me on the phone and said, Dr. Rosenberg, would you come in here, please? I am afraid we have an unhappy girl here today. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, what could it be that my perfect little girl is in trouble in school? So I went to the school, and I'm sitting in the principal's office, and the principal was obviously very upset. And she said, Marla came to school today dressed in blue jeans. I told her that isn't how a young lady dresses. And she said, go to hell. Well, I felt like celebrating. Marla has graduated from being a perfect little subservient girl to a real human being. I could see she was going through a middle ground that people often have to go through before they become a human being, that they go through rebellion before getting to fully being free in their own rights to choose for themselves.